shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that since man gave up that privilege of seeing you in the pillar of fire and those manifestations which are now left only to certain particular prophets, and we saw the end time prophet who saw you manifest in the peculiar form which you were pleased to show yourself unto him. So man has turned away and gone to his own ideas, and he has recreated himself a god of his own imagination, which is far worse than a person limiting his imagination to simply a god of stone or brick or some little tree or something that in which he believes that particular god might reside. For now, Lord, it is the point where men have gone far past that stage of believing those things which were fine for those minds which we look at as being so infantile, so puerile, so childish. But now man claiming a full stature of understanding and believing he is scientific has turned away from you and turned down the truth as it absolutely was shown to us by vindication, showing that man now has reverted even to a worse stage than what people were in the beginning in idolatry, for they're just natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And what a terrible thing that is, and yet we know it's the truth, and so therefore we count it more dearer today than ever before that you have given us the privilege of seeing and hearing and understanding that which is to be known of yourself, and to enter into your gates with praise, your courts with thanksgiving, rejoicing and worshiping, calling upon your name, which we trust we're doing this morning from hearts that are pure. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 26 of leadership, and for years Brother Branham has been taking a strong position against modern so-called Christian women's hair, dress, and shoes. And you notice that, the hair, the dress, and the shoes. He negates from vindicated scripture the cutting of hair, the wearing of immoral or indecent apparel, and especially above that, actually taking off their clothes would not be as bad as this, so that may actually stumble you. That which pertains to men, and then shoes with heels so high as to cause an imbalance, that has been described in Isaiah 16 concerning women. They are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Now, I've explained this to you before, and I realize that this will not go over with the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the great so-called baptized Holy Ghost believer, but the actual fact of the matter is that you are seeing that even as in the Garden of Eden, Eve created an atmosphere. And that atmosphere that she created from departing from the Word led her into what we now know as the interruption. And what she did has caused the death of every baby, has caused every sickness, every accident, every pain, every war. There is nothing in the realm of degradation, in the realm of tragedy, the realm of sickness, just everything to the extent of whatever perversion you may see was caused by that. Now, you will notice that as I brought out to you the two words naked in the scripture, they were naked and were not ashamed, actually shows that there was the possibility of an atmosphere or a proclivity or what you might call desire, not so much a desire, but the proclivity, I guess you might call it, to enter into what could be an actual situation which then in turn would bring about tremendous problems and tremendous digressions from the presence of Almighty God. In other words, it lay there. And the minute that she began to get away from the Word of God, having that propensity, then she entered into the act. And so she had within her, woman above all else, has within her the power to create an atmosphere. And that atmosphere will in turn begin to bring about certain actions and certain conduct, which in itself will bring about more sure destruction, perversion, and the wrath and judgment of God upon us. Now, this is true because the woman is representing the church. And Brother Branham said, if you want to know the condition of the church, you look at the woman. When you want to know the time, you look at Israel. And Brother Branham brought these things out in particular, and that is women wearing that which is pertaining to the male. And of course, you talk about male appurtenances. You talk about the sacrifice with the appurtenances thereof. And the appurtenances thereof are designating marks and qualities that show you exactly the differences lying within the species. And so when women begin to deliberately walk into the realm of the male, which is the male's maleness, she begins to lose out entirely with God, creating that atmosphere. And you'll notice what's happened with the men. They encourage the women. We saw our young boys, and they're doing it again. They're letting their hair grow long. And they are wearing earrings, and I just want to vomit when I this guy had to be gay the other day. He walked up to me in the store, and he had this earring, and you could tell by the way he walked and the way he talked that I don't think I'd have laughed if a steamroller had hit him. I think I'd have been sorry for him, but he just turned my stomach. Now, I realize that I'm using incorrect language according to the world. But the world can go to hell and burn, and I'm not going to change. You know why? Because I can't change. They say they can't change. I believe them. They want me to change. They're stupid. I cannot change. There's no way. So, all right, you notice in here that the woman wearing these high heel slippers that Brother Branham spoke of, described here in Isaiah the 16th, she might not know it, but she's creating an atmosphere. And that atmosphere is a very ungodly atmosphere. And Brother Branham warned us about atmosphere. And science proves the power of atmosphere. So we should be very, very careful when we listen to Brother Branham say these things. He's not saying these things just because he wants to say them, or that would be, or God wants to say them. That would be the same as when Brother Branham said, if God simply lost something in order to find it, that would be the utmost of folly. That would be very, very uncomplimentary to God. What kind of a God would he be to just lose something in order to find it? See, so that therefore, it's a matter then of just doing something in order to be doing something. That's not life. Life has goals, and it has destinations, it has ends, it has ambitions. And we should always be working toward that end. And the scripture tells us, now you see these women here, with their husbands and boyfriends and all, they are working to an end that is going to be 100% destructive. There's no two ways about it, because the majority of these people is so vast that to be compared to 8 people out of 5.5 billion. So many people think that you're able maybe to get away from the atmosphere of the world. There's only one way to do it, and that's to so engage our minds with the Word of God, and not an intolerance toward these things, but a scriptural abhorrence, knowing where they come from and where they're leading, and to no time at ever allow ourselves to be inveigled into a position whereby we would be a part of the creators of that atmosphere. Man is a creator. He creates atmospheres. And it must be very, very important to have the right atmosphere. What kind of a church would this be with boys with long hair and women with skirts that are revealing and cutting their hair and attempting to tell you that they simply can't do without high heels? Well, they'll do without them if they go to hell. They'll be burned off their feet. I mean, what are you trying to tell me? Somebody comes in here and takes the country and throws you in jail. You think you're going to have pretty slit skirts if you call them pretty in your short hair and your decked out ways and high heel slippers? Why, listen, they'll put you in a pair of overalls and your hands will be full of calluses. You'll have it so cold you'll hardly work, and they'll whip the daylights out if you don't work. You want a little taste of hell before you go to hell? Just let some nation come in here and, like the commies have done in Europe and have done over the years, and they're doing it, and man is doing it more and more and more. If you think this world is getting better off with government and stuff, you're nuts. Because under the Antichrist Pope, Brother Branham said he would sooner have the Knights of Columbus acts perpetrated upon him than 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. And he had read the act, what he called the Oath of Knights of Columbus, and I guess different ones of us have read it. Of course, the Catholics repudiate it. I can't say too much about it. But after having discovered what Augustine said and what the Jesuits put us through, and now they're going to apologize for it, hot dog, isn't that beautiful? That's like the devil looking down at all the people he confined to hell, led astray. Well, I apologize. You can take your apology. I'm not interested, because it's too late. Now, in spite of years of vindicated teaching that these symptoms of modern apostasy, because that's what they are in the church, show the church, or show us the exact condition of the church, what condition it is in. The women and the men refuse to take heed to this last day message and laugh him to scorn when he says they're getting worse. It is evidently true that their hair and demeanor, which was once their glory, has given way to a perverse and perverted glory, which is their shame. Paul speaks of that in Philippians. And of course, you can apply it to anybody and anything you want to apply it to, because this is applied in a certain way, the third chapter, the 19th verse, and it says, concerning this certain people, at the time of Paul, you notice he says, 17 verse, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have seen us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. In other words, the things that are written about in the Bible that are shameful, that has become their glory. That has become their assessment. Now, they can talk all they want about the cross of Christ. They can talk all they want about the atonement. They can talk about all the suffering and all that they go through. And mind you, they speak volubly concerning all of these things, especially suffering with Christ that you might be glorified. But you look at them. You look at them. And you see that their true assessment is a billion miles off the word and off the mark. And their glory is their shame. In other words, they glory in what is shameful. They positively do. And if you look out on the street You'll see it out there. And sometimes it's coming into the church. And Brother Branham said, that woman has a filthy spirit on her. And the man that allows it has a filthier spirit on him. Now, you can say what you want, but you better sit back and take note and you watch. And you're going to find that you will meet me at the great white throne. There's no way you can escape me any more than I can escape you, or we both escape God. Because we're dealing with the truth here. We've seen it. We know the results and the fruit of it. We see it, and it turns out they're make-believers. Didn't believe in the first place. When it comes down to the showdown of the word, they're gone. Make-believers. See? Now, a straight unbeliever usually just gets up and walks out. He comes in here in his black hat and his black clothes, and he knows right away that he's been hit over the head with a 4x4. He can't stay for the service. He's gone. Some of the others like him. But you get some sticking around long enough to make trouble thinking they can seduce. That's why Satan stuck around so he could seduce. Remember, seduction is not rape. Seduction is planting in your mind that creature's desire that he wants fulfilled in you. Seduction. So, all right, their glory is their shame. In other words, they glory in their shame. They have an openness about them. And the ministers who know that he is telling the truth condemn him for preaching it and want him to abandon it entirely and stick to healing for his ministry instead of that of the prophet who alone is ordained of God to set the church in order. In other words, they don't even want to hear if anything's wrong. They're like Belshazzar at the feast. Everybody have a great time. Don't suggest anything negative because everything is positive. Everybody happy. Everybody's just fine. Brother Branham then tells of seeing a package that once contained cigarettes that says a thinking man's filter and a smoking man's taste. And having spoken a while on that, he asks how any person can be so deceived as to attempt to pass their dress code, which is contrary to God's word through the scripture. Neither they nor their creeds and codes can stand the word test. And both fail. But like the addict who craves the nicotine, and therefore the nicotine addict, he craves the nicotine, and therefore smokes more and more, so these people in the church run to great and greater extents of spiritual depravity, and they cannot understand why they are criticized or why everybody doesn't just go along with them. Isn't it strange that about 99% or better go along with them, and they can't stand to see the less than 1% take a stand? They can't do it. Well, the reason, of course, is they're battling on a common ground, which is the Word. Now, over here in 1 Peter, I guess it is, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 5, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now, you get that same mind by Paul in Philippians, the 2nd chapter. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now, if you want to just take a peek at this and go back to the Garden of Eden, you will find that evidently that even though they had great resources in the Holy Spirit to prune the garden and to do many things, Eve could have been appealed to on the grounds of, hey, you're just not having as good a time as you ought to have. You're working out here in the garden, and you're laboring under this certain word here. And So therefore he was appealing. And this is what the people do at the end time. They make an appeal to the people. Hey, I'm just as good a Christian as you are. I suffer. And I live for the Lord. And I've been through this and I've been through that. And see, look, I've got just as much as you've got any day. Where do you find that God's dealing with clothes horses? See? Now, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now, the will of the Gentiles is out there dressing in this godless manner. When we walked in awe, in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Now you notice in here what he's saying. He's saying that these people here have never left the spirit that they had in the world. And they simply can't understand what is cut hair, what are high heels, what are wearing men's clothes and these different things, and men just standing back and not demanding the truth in the temple, standing up with the word. They just don't understand that. See, what you're looking at is the sow returned to the wallow and the dog to the vomit. See, now just a minute now. Short hair and dresses that are short and slit skirts and high heels and these things should not of necessity mean that the dog has gone back to the vomit or the sow to the wallow. And my answer would, that's true. They never left it. They never left it. I've often said, when I left Pentecost, thank God Pentecost left me. And I mean it. You think I've got a fight and a controversy with anybody, it's those Pentecostals. Absolutely, I know what they stand for. Now, we can just go back to page 34, I guess it is, and in 238, to see exactly how strong Brother Branham, by vindication, comes against the seemingly lovely, consecrated worshipers, not believers. He comes against the worshipers who are not believers. Now, they actually believe they're believers, who are actually profligate, according to Peter and Paul, and a vindicated prophet of Thus Saith the Lord, having abandoned themselves to a perverted word and the perverted world. Now, if there's any halfway ones out there, like Foolish Virgin, they're going to die for it. Remember, the church is purged, Israel's purged, the earth is purged under the sixth seal. Can it be true that the women who dress thus, and the ministers and men who will not take a stand for the word, have now shown that they are definitely not elected? Now, I realize you've got the opposite side of the coin. You've got a bunch of people out there that they got 17th century black hats. They got black clothes with their little funny thing on top of their heads. And they go around, you know, looking like a mop rag. Just about a lot of them. They kind of dress alike, like peas in a pod. And you know what they are? They're regimented. They're zombies. All in the name of religion. You mean to tell me that you can be born again that way? You don't get born again that way. You don't get born again and stay in the place that that you had to walk out to get born again. That's where the Mormons fooled the Mormons. That were, well, of course, you know I don't believe in women preachers, but old Woodward Edder, she's quite an old gal. I understand she had a leg all like a corkscrew, and she was in a wheelchair a lot of the time, and she was Pentecostal, talked in tongues and believed in healing. And she claimed her healing. She said, thank God I'm healed. And they said, well, Mrs. Edder, what is that? She said, that is the devil's lie. And one day, the leg on scorched. She She had a leg perfectly normal. Well, she went around stomping up and down the country preaching Christ and salvation, healing, and baptism with the Holy Ghost. And a whole bunch of Mormons heard the word. And they got so-called converted and healed and all speaking in tongues. Why, the Mormons aren't a bunch of stupid idiots. You and I might think they are, but they can't be stupid. They got so much money and everything else, even running governments and everything else. They can't be stupid as far as just your stupidity is concerned. So they went to the Bible. They said, bless God. Why, sure, it's right over here in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. You don't have to leave the church. We believe in it. And understand that when the elders get together, they still prophesy. And they tell me the prophecies are right dead letter on. In fact, the Mormon church prophesied that there'd be a prophet by the name of William Branham come on the scene. After that, it was all over. But William Branham would never go to their temple, though the temple was open to him day and night. So you see how this is. You can get locked in. You never ever came out. If you don't come out and change your language, you don't get dressed. You're only putting on a garment in these meetings as under Brother Branham, as we preach this word. The garment only comes by the repudiation and the refusal to accept and to meditate within yourself. Now, you could argue with somebody, hammer and tongs, and repeat what they say and try to show the fallacy. That's not going to hurt you. That just makes you sharp. But to remain with the creeds and the dogmas, attempting even to use it, this message as a new patch on an old garment. What happens when the old garment finally explodes? Doesn't hurt the new patch. It's still here. The new wine that explodes the bottle, even if it goes to the ground, it's still new wine. The bottle's gone. It's just like those guys that use the censers that give false fire to God. He said, save the censers. When they took away the censers and put them back where they belonged, what happened? Fire came up and destroyed those people that really setting the church in order. Boy, they had church order in a hurry, didn't they? Now, I mentioned here there's a big difference between worshipers and believers. Now, a worshiper, of course, is someone who goes into a state of adoration, or he shows a respect and tries to show a love for you, what you'd call, it's a little beyond respect. It's with be a deep sincerity there. Now, in using the word believer as superior to the word worshiper, we are thinking in purely vindicated scriptural terms because we're told by God in Christ. Now remember, we're told by God in Christ. Because Jesus never said anything but what the Father told him to say. So God in Christ said in John 4 that they that worship God must do so in spirit and in truth. Now, this statement is remarkable, especially with in that the word believe comes from a Greek word that means to convince. So to believe means to convince by argument, true or false. So now we got believe here. And this man is in a state of conviction. It doesn't say that he's right, doesn't say that he's wrong, but in this case we're looking for the right. By analogy, it's to pacify or conciliate. So, therefore then, by analogy, when we're thinking of believing, we're believing in terms that in our minds and in our spirits and souls, we have come to a place of conciliation or reconciliation and peace with God. Now, thus it means in the long run to be persuaded, to be confident, to trust, to be yielded. worship on the grounds of being a believer, or even leaving out the thought of worship temporarily, not suggests but demands a yieldedness. It demands that you have got to be given over to this. Or as Brother Branham would say, the ultimate or the tie post. And the person is now defined as to his position relative to what he considers truth. And he now thereby enters into a worship of God and a communion with God. All this is according to him, but not necessarily with God. You understand what I'm saying? You can be a believer and a worshiper, but you're a self-made believer and you're a self-made worshiper. And therefore, you worship in vain, because you can't raise yourself by your bootstraps. Now, he could just surmise it. Now, remember, Brother Branham used that word surmise. He could be daring to go and tread where he has no permission. See? To assume an authority, to go without authority, if you presume. See, the man is surmising, he is assuming, and now he is presuming. He presumes he is an accepted child of God and arrogates to himself the word that speaks of the child of God coming boldly to the throne of grace in every time of need to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with great praise. And this person simply takes for granted what is not true and proven to be true at that time. It can all be vain worship, as Jesus said, because he is not a true believer. His faith passeth. Is completely vain because he does not have a revelation, and he is a part of Hebrews 6, where the rain falls on the just and on the unjust, receiving blessings from God. At the end time, tasting the future kingdom, the power of the world to come, to sit there and to see its glory, to stand there and see what God says. And yet, he will be left standing for the great tribulation or the harvest while the wheat is taken out. Now, the next word in the Greek is, of course, a continuation because that word means persuaded. Now, but what persuasion is this person of? We go to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, and in the 4th verse, I believe, it says, no, I don't want that one. 14 and 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Now, he goes on to say there's nothing unclean of itself but to him that esteemeth and so on. But this verse is no different from what we read on communion nights, where Paul says, what I received of the Lord, I'm passing on to you. And you will notice that that's over here in the book of Galatians, the 1st chapter, which we read many times, and I'm not going to read too much, just 11 and 12, but I certify you, brethren. I want to let you know that this is true. I put my seal of my life, my reputation, my eternal life upon it, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Now, he was taught it. Neither was I taught it except by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans 14 again, and I want 15. And beginning at verse 14, I also myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, also of are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also to admonish, able to admonish one another. Now here's Paul talking of a Gentile church that's in good shape. I'm persuaded, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. In other words, encourage one another to help each other on the right path, because you all know the word. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, these people here have an entree to God, and they can actually worship Him. And they can come to Him in the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost. And Paul tells them that they do it on the grounds of Him ministering the gospel to them, which they have received, and they are working with each other in and through that gospel. Now, we don't have that here very much, but we're supposed to have it, because we're supposed to be back to Ephesus the first days. Now, watch in verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about from Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And he tells them in Corinthians, the word of God did not come to you only in language, but it came to you in power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. In other words, Paul was absolutely a vindicated preacher. So, when Brother Branham at the end time here, remember this is an end time message. When Brother Branham comes to these people and he lets them know that they are pseudo-Christians, it is because he is fully vindicated to say so. And of course, Duplessis, who led them all into Rome, you know, the old fox that dropped an acorn on the head of Chicken Little and got all the turkeys and gobblers and geese running. He said, God judged that man who called himself a prophet who judged others. What does Duplessis think about Peter being crucified upside down? What does Duplessis think about Peter? Paul with his head chopped off. What does Duplessis think about the women pregnant, ripped up, and their fetuses fed to pigs? And others were put into leather bags with poisonous snakes and thrown in the water. Evidently, Mr. Duplessis doesn't have the least understanding of anything. But as the scripture says, mouths speaking great swelling words for admiration of men and gain. But I wouldn't want his gain. If you gave me billions of dollars, I'm not interested. You can take what I have now and throw me on the street naked. If that's what it's supposed to be, that's what it'll be. We don't need that. Okay? We have a vindicated message. And Brother Branham said, you can tell the elect. He said, I can walk into a room. I don't even have to read your spirits. I don't have to take every spirit under my control. I can walk in there and I can know that something is wrong. Now, let's say there's a woman with short hair sitting there, but she's really got something from God. When she hears this word, you watch that hair begin to grow. Now, it doesn't mean it will grow if she's got hair that can't grow, but it does mean she'll never snip it, and she'll never do the things. And I never could figure where women are coming from, and I don't want to belabor this, that merciful God, if that's all they really got to do, is just to be chaste and wear a certain type of garments. And that gives them a chance to wear beautiful, beautiful clothes. And I'm glad our sisters here do that. What in the name of common sense has anybody got to cry and grump about? As though they've lost their liberty. Well, I'm going to tell you the liberties they had, which were prostitutes spiritually. They're still that way, and the church today is a spiritual prostitute. Now, this is Brother Branham's last message, pointing them to the present one, letting them know that under vindication, he's telling them the truth. And they're not even interested. See? So thus we see that the word believer describes one who has given credit or credence to whatever it is he is casting his destiny upon and has committed himself to it. And whether he knows it or not, although he knows it really in his heart, it is live, die, swim, or drown, as Brother Branham said. Any faith that does not bring that conviction is not worthy to be called faith and is not the faith that was once for all delivered unto the believers, but is entirely fallacious. Now, so you're looking at what a real believer is, not a make-believer now or an unbeliever. We're looking at a person who has the definitive, vindicated revelation of the hour and is willing to use the guidelines that are there. Now, remember that even the heathen have guidelines. I think I read it one day here, where Paul says, if the heathen by nature do those things that you and the Word are commanded of God not to do, and you're doing them, where does that leave you? I had a young lady who was very happy to tell me, having left her, that she's praying now. You mean to tell me, sitting here under this message as I preach it, have mentioned prayer, that she has to take hours of drilling to be brought to the place where she's willing to pray or something? Or starts to? Is this the way some of you are sitting here this morning? I feel sorry for her if you are. The heathen do that. The denominations do it. Have you been liberated, or think this church has come to the place where we don't pray? Where all the lies told about us are true? I can upmanship almost any man in this message with the healing ministry if I want to turn loose. But I'm not out to prove anything. I don't need to.
Amen.
If you'd ever been where I'd been over the years, you'd understand what I'm saying. It's not a spirit that does it, where you get thrown into a convulsion against your will, but it's come where you come to the place where you stand there. You don't back down. No, I'm not interested in what they have to say. The Branham people are mostly from amongst the chaff. The chaff spirit never left them. The new paths will continue to go on and judge them. The wine which was new and they imbibed, according to Hebrews 6, will come back to haunt and to judge them. No man can make God a liar and get away with it. No man can judge God's prophets. All right, we're reading page 34, 238. Every year I pass through preaching these things, and I think, surely they get it. Now, what is he talking about? A little bit addressed here. And a little hope for the message. Next year I come back, there's more than ever. That's when they laughed and scorned him. It goes to show that many are called, but few are chosen. You realize what he said? I can walk in the building. I don't have to bring their spirits under my control. I don't have to pass them through a prayer line. I just look down. And I see the women. And when I see the women, I know what the men believe, and I know what the preacher believes. And I know they don't have a clue to election. A friend of mine told me, he postponed a certain preacher one time, and he said, "Sir, I don't understand predestination. What does it really mean?" You know that preacher told him? Why, he said, it means that God knew what was down the road. The word predestination means a predestiny. That's why Brother Branham told the Pentecostals, "I will not use the word predestination, I'll use foreknowledge." They went away happy. They simply can't believe the Bible. They simply will not believe the Bible. Do you think for 1 minute when Satan worked on the serpent to get Eve, did he have any conviction in his heart at all that Adam and Eve would make it? He was looking for subjects that he could have under his control and rule and reign forever. Satan did not know the mind and the plan of Almighty God. Satan still has to stand back, and he had to stand back and look at those seals. And when those seals were opened, it was too late that he could do anything about it because they're vindicated. The lie and the truth stood manifest right there. These people are scorners. Let's take a little look in the Bible. Book of Proverbs, of course, is the place to go. And we go to 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. No, I don't want that one. I want the 13:1. Can't read my own writing. As long as I can read God's writing, that's what counts. 13:1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Brute beast, natural brute beast, ready to be taken and destroyed. Yeah. Ready to take and destroy. Can't take it. The 15th chapter. And the 12th verse. A scorner loveth not. One that reproves him. Neither will he go to the wise. Now, we'll jump back to the 3rd chapter. Verses 33-35. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Remember, the church gets purged. Huh? So, all right. Do you think they're going to believe that? But he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. And women tell me they got to wear their heels a certain way. And the only reason I'm preaching this way is because it's in this message. You know, I don't normally deal with these things because we already know the truth. Notice what he said. He scorneth the scorners. God scorns them. If Brother Branham said a woman with cut hair can't pray to God, which, well, I'm getting my answers. Well, sure, but you're getting leanness in your soul and harder, and you're depending on that. Your active faith, which anybody can use. Even going to a witch doctor thinking he's God can get you healing. Many things are strange. But he giveth grace to the lowly. Remember, lady one day told me, she's deceased now, very fine old lady. She said, she got great comfort when Brother Branham said, "Your hair is your glory. Wear it with pride." She said, ever since then, she said, "I should put my hair up and I glory in the fact." Those weren't her exact words, but she was proud of the fact what you might call justifiably, scripturally proud of the fact, happy is the word, that she was doing that. She had no problem with anybody. Didn't bother her at all. The wise shall inherit glory. That's the ones that don't scorn. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, what's God call these scorners? Fools. What's their promotion? Demotion. Manifested folly. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils and done wonderful things? He said, I never even knew you. Let's go to Luke, the 9th chapter. A little different thing in here. If I have this right, then I hope I do. The 9th chapter and verse 52. Is that what I want? No, it's not what I want. But it doesn't matter. I'm just going to tell you. This is where Jesus entered the home of the girl that had died. And they were weeping and mourning, Jairus' daughter, and they were weeping and mourning. And he said, why are you making all this fuss and this crying? The girl is not dead, she's sleeping. The Bible said they laughed him to scorn because they knew that she was dead. And so Jesus put them all out of the room. Couldn't operate with that unbelief. But I wonder what these paid wailers and these mourners felt like when they came to collect their pay, because she wasn't dead at all. Jesus led her out of the room by the hand and presented her. The people said, give her something deep. But you see, they laughed him to scorn. What I want to show you is this. That same one that raised that dead was God. That same one was the one that raised Lazarus in a resurrection. That same one was the one that raised the dead over five times. That was five or seven times. Five at least in Brother Branham's ministry. And actually performed a resurrection on a fish, showing you and me that it's over. Because when you see a fish resurrected, you know the earth is going to have a great change and the animals and the fish are coming back. Because God doesn't resurrect the fish to throw them in rotten, polluted water any more than he resurrects you and me to throw us in a rotten, polluted land any more than he did with Noah. When all the great deposits came down off of the mountains and the earth was heaving in internally and externally, and it built up a beautiful layer of silt and humus and those things that make the ground bring forth, like when Mount Helen erupted, they tell me that flowers that hadn't bloomed for 100 years came back. We're going to walk upon the fertilizer of the wicked, the ashes. The earth is going to be purified and beautiful. People don't know that. They're laughing to scorn the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? That message was for the end time, just the same as greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. It's identical. See, you got to run your scriptures together. Don't pull them out of place and run hither, thither, guessing and jumping up and down and think you got something. We know, brother, sister. We are the true scientists. We are the true scientists because we know. And the word science means comes from the Latin word skill, meaning to know. I guess you have to call a skill, scary, squeeze, what is it? Skill, scare, squeeze, squeedum, something like that. I kind of forget those things. But anyway, oh Lord, I memorized them all at one time. 3 solid years of Latin. All right. We're looking then at Brother Branham says, many are called, but few are chosen. And he's outlined the physical. So then, is this a true word test? Do they rise or fall by this part of their identification? And Brother Branham said, look at the woman. That's where the church is, and the church has fallen. She's a prostitute. Remember Brother Branham's vision of Miss Trinity. The last church of Brother that God recognized. He was not recognizing the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Catholics. He was recognizing the Pentecostals. Miss Trinity was dressed to the hilt. Short skirts, plucked eyebrows, short hair, form-fitting clothes, high heels. She was just looking for a man. So the city slicker came by, gave one wink, and that's all it took. She grabbed his arm and left Brother Branham flat as a fritter standing there. Miss Oneness then came along, engaged in a conversation. She was a little more comely. Skirts were longer, her hair was uncut. So it goes to show you that, listen, you let your hair grow without having genuine reality. I ain't going to do one thing for you, except get you off the hook that you didn't cut your hair. That's one thing less you'll have to suffer for. But she came by, and she engaged, and Brother Branham engaged her in conversation, and Mr. World came by, and he winked his eye at her. And she disengaged Brother Branham from conversation. She took his arm and walked down the road, gave one little look back, and went on. So the church is judged. The church is now in the lap of the wicked one. We are in the bosom of the Father, and they are in the bosom of the devil. And the word bosom is a harbor, meaning a sanctuary and a place of rest. They have their rest in their creeds and their dogmas. We have our rest. And a vindicated word, and the only unrest we have is this. Are we getting it all? Are we getting it just right? Does our Titanic have every lifeboat? Not just seemingly have lifeboats. Our Brother Branham said the ship is fine. It's working good. The stabilizer in place. And she'll crest every wave, and by the grace of God, I believe that to be true. The leadership is the Holy Spirit, friend. Well, they'll agree with that, but they don't know what he's talking about. It leads you and guides you into all truth when he, the Holy Ghost, is come. Now think of that. Take the thinking man's filter. That's the Bible. Not your creed. Not your church. You'll be lost. Take the thinking man's filter. Now, Brother Branham said, take the thinking man's filter, that's the Bible. Well, see, look, they don't have a clue to vindication because they all claim the Bible. And that's why they got denominations. They all claim the same Bible with a different idea. And now you got the different translators, and I like them. I'm going to be honest with you, I compare them. Well, now, do you believe in the Living Bible? Or do you like the King James Revised? Have the NIV? Or this one or that one? I have about 32 translations. I don't use them anymore. I use Dr. Wiest a bit because I like the Amplified. I just take what Brother Branham said and go to the Word Studies. And I find a lot of marvelous things that the man said that amplify exactly what he said. And give me an understanding which I did not previously have. So now when he said, take the thinking man's filter, the Bible, I'll bet you the vast majority held their Bibles up. Sit them down with the Church of Christ. Sit them down with a good Catholic theologian. Sit him down with a Baptist. Well, there's so many Baptists, my God, you almost got to have an auditorium to just bring one of each kind in. You know, if you count the independents, they never fit in here, not even the organized bunch. Are they going to agree? Nah. No. Not your creed, not your church. you'll be lost. Now, this is where he is separating the Bible and the people, so that even though they have a Bible, they're not necessarily getting it. They're just not getting it. Take the thinking man's filter. Well, heavenly days, what is the thinking man's filter? Well, first of all, if you have any real thoughts on the subject, you got to know that the Apostle Paul came on the scene and he rightly divided law and grace. He rightly divided the times and divisions of the grace of Almighty God extended to the sheep of Israel and the Gentiles. Now, back in Paul's day, they had the Bible, the first 39 books that Paul worked from. They had it. And Paul said, you jolly well know, you know, according to the Word of God, the Gentiles have a part in this according to the promise made to Abraham. Now, even after Paul had brought the Word of God, and after the Holy Ghost had come, pardon me, Paul had not brought the Word of God, but the Holy Ghost had come, Peter gets a remarkable vision. And in the vision, he sees a great big sheet let down. And in there, there's snakes, and there's crabs, and there's eel, and squid, and there's all kinds of things in there, and maybe a pig or two. And the voice says, rise, Peter, slay and eat. He said, no way, no way, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth, and nothing ever will. Now, he is a lousy divider of the word at that point. He certainly was. But God's faithful. And the Holy Spirit said, don't you dare call anything common or unclean which I have cleansed. Now, you go down to the Gentiles that you think are unclean. Now, do you realize something there? That man did not have a division of the Word of God, even though he was taught it very well, though perhaps Brother Brand said he couldn't even read, which is fine. You don't have to read. Uncle Buddy Robinson never read. One day they caught him with his Bible upside down reading like crazy, and he's reading perfectly correct. Memorized it. God helped him. The Gentiles were to come in. But you know, it took Paul to say in Ephesians, that which was once known back there is now known as it was never known before. And under the seals, do you realize we know things that you never knew before? Amen. Do you realize that Brother Branham showed us things that were not known from before the foundation of the world, going back in the mind of God? Absolutely showed us fabulous things. So, when they say, all right, I've got my Bible, this would have been not appropriate to speak this way under Charles Price or Finney or any great man of God. Because they were not vindicated. But now we're talking about no longer your church is as good as the next fellow's church. What does it matter if you're Baptist or Presbyterian? It doesn't make a bit of difference. We're all looking to Jesus who shed his blood. And we're all looking to him as the great mediator, intercessor. We're looking to him as God the Son who... When man sinned, the Son said, Father, I'll come down. The body's prepared. The Holy Ghost now is executing this great plan.
And I want to tell you, it's all a lie.
Although it's all in the Bible.
But not in the Bible that way.
That's creeds and dogmas.
Now, one day you get away shaking hands. One day you get away being a Presbyterian and a Nazarene to Pentecost. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, absolutely, you could. Just like one day you could get away with being an Israelite. But when Jesus died and rose, forget it.
The middle wall is broken down of one. He's making one body.
And so today at the end time, Brother Branham stood up there as a vindicator prophet, and he said, it used to be okay, but it's not okay any longer. Because it wasn't okay at the time of Jesus, when he stood before this young man, and the young man had fulfilled all of those commandments, but failing to recognize God in human flesh, turned down God. Turned down not the author of eternal life, but turned down eternal life.
I know you can use the word author of eternal life and get by with it. I don't choose to. The only sense you can use author of eternal life is begetter. One who literally passes on from himself, a part of himself, in order to bring forth that particular person or pattern which lies in the spiritual genes of that spirit life, which is called God. Now he explains why he says this. That's where that boy didn't think. So that's where that boy didn't think. He took the church filter. He had become popular, a great man, but in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now I could sing, oh, how I love Jesus, to a bunch of Pentecostals. And they'd sing with me. And be condemning their souls right to hell. Then you go to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, which I love with all of my heart. And I will not read what I've read many times, but I'm going to start at verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not or refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, or the one that's from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, let's remember that. Some things are going to get shook right down, and there's no way they're going to stay. Now, watch what's going to stay. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby, and there's a special day of grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. Just a few little things. With reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So what can't remain gets burnt. That's Malachi 4. And so therefore one must speak from heaven. The one from heaven must now speak on earth. And that one from heaven was God himself, who spoke in the body of Jesus Christ his Son, born of the Virgin Mary. Where the genetic pattern that was in Jesus, that God gave Jesus to bring forth a human race, which should have been brought forth, right? And through the flesh, came forth, and we saw exactly what the genetic pattern was, and that portion of God, that life, when given the proper substance and take form, would be. And he was a man. Maybe I made a mistake. He was a shim. Or a hern. don't you believe it?
So therefore, Brother Branham, in Hebrews 12, speaking, for the one that descended with the shout, it is not said to be the voice of the descender. And the prophet of Revelation 10 and 7 was already here when 10 and 1 came down. And the word is in the tongue of the prophet. It is not in the mind. It is in the tongue. It bypasses the human reasoning. And he tells us. And Brother Branham is telling them right here, Hebrews 12 has come to pass. You will lift up your eyes in torment. In fact, it is worse than that, because you are now going to fulfill the scripture over here in the book of Revelation, which is in this second chapter. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. In other words, they're committing spiritual adultery in an unholy union. They have become an ecumenical society, and they're in the great tribulation, and the foolish virgin is destroyed, and they are going to be screaming, "Save us from the wrath of the Lamb." They're going to gnaw their tongues in pain and curse the God of heaven. And it's going to happen pretty soon. Oh, yeah. You don't have 555 and 666 and 777 just for fun. You don't have the Pope signing a concord on 666. And you don't have God in a three every single time.
You better believe this here, brother, sister. Oh, I don't mind you having a banana split and buying new cars and getting hairdos and buying new clothes and enjoying yourself. Merciful God, you can't take it with you. And surely the Lord's giving enough to splurge a little on yourself and have a nice time. If you got a sweet tooth, just make sure the dentist puts a cap on it so you don't eat too much. But nobody asks you to be sour pusses and going around you and haggard and beat down. Well, I brought with Brother Branham. If you've had any place you should dress up, has come to church dressed up. Take some of you guys shopping with me one of these days. You look all right. It's fine. You can come and clean overalls and everything else. But let's face it. I'm going to tell you what. You're living in the last day. And the last day, they're flaunting themselves and saying, "Look, we're increased in goods and we're rich and we got these fancy fineries and everything else." Well, is a bride supposed to come by and look like something the cat dragged behind it for about the last 6 months? I'm not preaching clothes, so you got to have a lot of nice clothes. Now, I'm just telling you flat what the prophet said. If people like to dress up and come to church. If you haven't got certain clothes, at least you come in overalls with a patch on, as long as they're clean. And good. I hope you're getting the point here, because I'm quoting Brother Branham, and I don't want you to get a wrong slant on it, though I don't appreciate every single person, no matter how he comes. But the point is, Brother Branham did make certain comments, and I'm not one to back up from any comment, any way, shape, or form. So, all right, he became popular. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes because he did not listen from the one from heaven. Now, you take the thinking man's filter, Jesus Christ. Now, why does he call him the thinking man's filter? Because Jesus was the complete fullness of the Word, whereof the prophets were merely a part. And Jesus Christ was not only that Word manifested, but He was that Word of God completely fulfilled, of which part of the Word of God was death and resurrection. And there's where the Seventh-day Adventists get all wrong. They think that Jesus lived it. That was it. Hogwash. I can take you right to the book of Colossians, which I will do, and show you that they don't know what they're talking about any more than the man on the moon. They're not fit to listen to. If you listen to them, I've seen people do it, leave this message for it. They never were in the message in the first place. Look what it says about after the fullness of God had dwelt in him. Verse 20, chapter 1, having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated,
and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith and grounded. Now, what I'm looking at right here is that what we did, I mean, what Jesus Christ suffered for was the literal fulfilling of the Word of God that demanded a sacrifice to blot out what was against us. Now watch. This is verse 2 now, chapter 2 and verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of the openings, triumphing over them in it. Now, what you're looking at here is, this is the moral law that man constantly is at odds with because his nature is against it, having been put in the flesh. You got your spirit and your body and your mind fighting your soul, where the decision is. You've got that there, and this is what Jesus did, and he had to die to do it. So when they try to tell you that he lived that life, and he died, of course, and so on, but that's an example for you that you would have that perfect life, let me tell you flat, no man outside of Jesus Christ ever lived it or ever will live it. Because you can't get born again till you reach the age of accountability. And if you are born again or full of the Holy Ghost, your mother's womb, you could be a John the Baptist who saw the pillar of fire and God scream and said, there that one in the river Jordan you come baptizing, upon whom the Holy Spirit descends and states, that is the Son of God. And John got thrown in prison and he got all excited and he said, I want to send this up. He rapped at Jesus' door. He said, come on in. Our master, John the Baptist. He sent and asked us to ask you, are you really the one? Or did I blow it? Oh, merciful God. And then you talk about no mediator, no intercessor. You talk about the blood losing its power somewhere. Brother, sister, let me tell you, somebody screwed up in their thinking. Some people in this message are mentally, spiritually gone. They've got so enamored with what they think is a new message, they threw out the fundamental truth upon which Brother Branham was building. He was correcting, not changing. He was correcting, not throwing out. He was correcting, not adding or embellishing. Tell me when he said we've no mediator, no intercessor. Tell me where he said the blood has lost its power. His own vision as he criticized the woman in Toledo was a circle of blood. And yes, William Branham, except for that circle of blood, you wouldn't have a place where you're criticizing her. She's just as good as you are any day, even though she's backslidden and rotten, and I brought you here to help her, and here you are trying to get rid of her and mess her worse shape than she was. William Branham had to get down his... He apologized with tears running down his face to help that woman back. And some little windbag preacher going to try to tell me and tell you. They don't know this message, brother, sister, or I never knew the prophet. I don't know God, and I don't know the Word. I can tell you with all my heart, he's Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. He hasn't changed, and he isn't going to change. You don't need to worry about the future. You don't need to worry about the millennium and after the millennium. You don't have to worry about the white throne. He's not going to change. You know, Jacob's sons got pretty upset, and he said, I am the Lord, I change not, else your sons of Jacob would be consumed. If he wasn't that God of love and grace, you and I wouldn't have a prayer this morning. But we have that prayer. We have it. We have it right there. All right. He says here, now you take the thinking man's filter, Jesus Christ the Word.
Because he was that word. He didn't only fulfill it historically and perfectly. See? He was that word by reason of being an actual manifestation of God as per what God actually desired in God's own role at that time, which God needed that Son in human flesh. Indwelt him and left him. And there in the cross, God was completely reconciled. Why? Because the sacrifice was perfect. Is what Dr. Pink and men like that call the satisfaction of God. God satisfied. Lord, what can I do to add? Lord, what can I do here? What can I do there? And God says, I'm satisfied. To add or take a word destroys it all. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. It's all over. I'm at peace. The perfect will of God is being done today and will continue to be done until one day you and I are going to stand in Mount Zion and the pillar of fire will be visible to us and the Son, the Lamb, will be on the throne, having handed the kingdom back to the Father. Then worlds will open to us we've never dreamed of, and a life that will realize after our 70 years here in 1,000 millennium was merely the first flicker of a candle. We've got all that vast trail to go down with God. Now take the thinking man's filter, Jesus Christ the Word, and you'll have a holy person's taste. And remember, he's talking about women showing what place the church is in. So now he's not criticizing women just for their short skirts and their men's clothes and all. He's criticizing the church and said, you've lost your nature. You're no longer the sweet feminine nature. You're finished. It's all over. Well, our time's gone. So we're back where we were. We didn't get anywhere, did we? Well, we didn't get anywhere, in a certain sense of the word. Excuse me, I'll just write this date down here. Next Saturday, we'll no doubt be back. And look at this tremendous message, last message. Church, I can tell, looking at you, where you're at. Now, where you at? Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word of life and your the spirit that you've given us at this hour wherein we rejoice. The wonderful teaching of the prophet, Lord. And I know, Father, that oftentimes we don't think we're going deep enough and this enough and that enough. But the fact of the matter is, Brother Branham said, simplicity is going to fool everybody. Lord, may we not go into that fallacious position of being fooled by the simplicity. That the simplicity was my ministry is to declare that he is here. For the prophet to stand there and say, I can tell by looking at the church world just what shape it's in, that's not the bride of Christ. You haven't gone through the filter. You haven't gone through the word. Your association with Jesus Christ is merely one of anointing and not the true Holy Ghost. And thereby you're fully deceived and deceiving in the lap of the wicked one, ready for the final takeover. And I know that's true, Lord. And I know that as we go day by day, and what little life we have ebbs out. And it's kind of like you said there'd come a time when Israel would say, would God it were morning at night. And in morning time they would say, would God it were evening. It's a chore. It's difficult. But we know that the word of the Lord abides forever. No matter what this flesh has or thinks it has or doesn't have. No matter anything. We're right back here where we've committed ourselves with William Branham, the Apostle Paul. Live or die, we're the Lord's. swim or sink, we're the Lord's. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word in us, and we the carrier, and the Holy Spirit enriching and living it, can never pass away. For one day come back to share in the glory that has been prepared for him and consequently for us. We pray, Lord, you'll heal the sick amongst us. Help those, Lord, who need help. If there are people that are growing cold, we pray you'll revive them, make them red hot and zealous. If there are those who are not talking with each other, this beautiful, blessed word, may they begin to talk it, even as we saw the scripture, which informs us in every hand to keep the blessed word in our mouths, in our hearts, in our minds, so that our feet and our hands may be consumed in the progress of life, in a word life. Help the young and the old, O God, whatever the needs are. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all honor, glory, and power through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.